I'm going to share a teaching today. I hadn't shared this in a couple years because this is a traditional teaching that's given during the season of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. This is on the what's known as the Akedah. This is the binding of Isaac. And what I really love about this story, the binding of Isaac, is because it resembles and it foretells, it foreshadows Yeshua and the fathers. And in the story of Abraham and Isaac, we see the foreshadowing of the story of God the Father and Yeshua the Son. Let me start off with a little story before we get to that. And it goes like this. Pierre Herlot was the best artillery gunner in all of France. And after many years, he had saved enough money to buy this little little cottage in the village of Severs, just at the foot of a bridge. And this house, this little cottage, it was so beautiful, a thing of beauty. It was all covered with honeysuckle. And Pierre, he was looking forward to the time when he could spend his last days with his beautiful wife in this little cottage. But then came the Franco-Prussian War. And Pierre was needed. The Germans were in possession of the village, and Pierre was standing by his gun on the heights of Valeria. And as General Neil came along, he said, "Pierre, do you see over there? Do you see that little cottage at the very foot of the bridge?" And a cold sweat came over that brave old gunner. "Well," said General Neil, "that cottage is a nest of Germans. And I want you to train your artillery on it, and I want you to destroy it, blow it up." And all of the old skill of this eye of this gunner and all of his nerve, this brave old man pointed the muzzle of that big gun toward that little cottage at the end of the bridge. And there was smoke and a big roar. And the general cried, "Fine aim, Pierre! It's demolished! It's destroyed!" But as he looked, as the general looked at this little old man, he saw his face covered with tears. Tears just streaming down his face. And the general says, "Why, Pierre? What's the matter?" He says, "Ah, General," said the old gunner, "that was my house." And why do I tell this story? That's a good question, right? Because this story leads us today to this retelling of what's known as the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. And this is one of the most dramatic and gripping stories we find in the entire scriptures. And it's remembered each year during this time of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, the time or the day of the blowing of the shofar. And for the last 1700 years, the Jewish people have flocked to their synagogues to passionately cry each year upon God's throne of mercy, hoping that in remembering and recalling this sacrifice of Isaac, that God would be moved by love to forgive His people for their sins. Rabbi Abba Arika, who was in the 3rd century a rabbi, he composed a prayer that was incorporated in the afternoon, the Mincha synagogue service for Rosh Hashanah, for the Feast of Trumpets. And this is what this prayer that's read during Rosh Hashanah says. It says, "Our God and God of our fathers, let us be remembered by you for good. Grant us a judgment of salvation and mercy from your heavens, the heavens of old, and remember in our favor, O Lord, our God, the covenant and the loving kindness and the oath which you swore to our father Abraham on Mount Moriah. Consider the binding of his son Isaac upon that altar when he suppressed his love in order to do your will with a full heart. In the same way, Lord, may you, in your love, remember us and overcome your wrath against us. And as a result of this prayer that this rabbi composed in the third century, this is now part of the tradition. It's part of the prayer that's shared each year as we remember Abraham's trial and the victorious affirmation of his faith in God. And because of that, Genesis 22, which tells this story of Abraham and the binding of Isaac, it's recited in every synagogue on Rosh Hashanah at the time when the first blast of the shofar is sounded every year for the last 1,000 years. Now, to the Jewish people, this story, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, became the supreme example of self-sacrifice in obedience to God's will. And it also became a symbol of Jewish martyrdom throughout history. Throughout the ages, the Jewish people were willing to give up their lives for the sanctification of God's divine name. And this is known as Kiddush Hashem, to be able to sacrifice your life for the Lord. Be willing to give your life for the kingdom of God. And as God called Abraham to Mount Moriah to make the sacrifice, so he calls each and every one of us in this room today. And the road, let me tell you, the road is not an easy one when God calls us to do something. But it will come, out of it will come the blessings of God if we're obedient to him. God asked of Abraham his very best thing, the thing that meant most to him. Not only his son, but his only son. The son, which was the son of promise. That's what God wanted. But it was not Isaac that God really wanted. It was Abraham and Abraham's faith that God wanted. Now, if your life today seems empty and it seems shallow and unhappy and you haven't seen the power of God manifested in your life, maybe it's because there's something between you and God that you need to get rid of. Something that's separating you from God. And whatever that thing is, whatever it may be, for you it's an Isaac. Because you're loving it more than you're loving God. You're putting it before God. And he may be telling you, go up to Mount Moriah. Go up to Mount Moriah. And Hebrews 3:7, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, according to the Encyclopedia Judaica, a very famous encyclopedia, it's actually a 20-some volume encyclopedia, there's an article about the Akedah, and it says, among Christian writers and artists, the biblical account of Abraham's readiness to sacrifice Isaac was interpreted as a foretelling of the crucifixion of Yeshua. And it goes on to say that a parallel was drawn between the two stories, whereas Abraham was God the Father, sacrificing his only begotten son, and Isaac himself carrying the wood to the altar. It was Yeshua bearing his cross, while the ram that was actually sacrificed represented the crucified Messiah. Now turn with me, if you will, in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 22 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. Many of you have already purchased the new complete Jewish study Bible that we sold. I don't think we've ordered any more, but we're going to be ordering more. But in Genesis chapter 22 verse 1, it says the following. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Avraham. And he answered, Hineni, here am I. We see the word here, tested. It's not tempted, because God does not tempt us, as it says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13. It's Satan. He is the one who tempts us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, 5, in order to make us fall. But God, he does test us. Believe me, I have been through some big tests. God does test us in order to reveal and to confirm our faith, as it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 20, or to prove our commitment to him, as it talks about in Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2. Here the Lord wanted Abraham to prove that his faith was real by taking action. As James in the book, in the Brit Chadashah, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26, it says that faith without works is dead. And in the end, we know that Abraham stood that test of faith. He held up under the tremendous pressure that he was under. He endured the most difficult strain. He emerged from the trial in complete victory. And Abraham answered with the words, here am I. In Hebrew, it's Hineni. And that's the response of a servant. That's what Moses said when God called him. He said, Hineni, here I am. And when Samuel, the little boy, was called by God, he said, Hineni, here I am. And when Isaiah was called, he said, Hineni. And when God calls us, we need to say, Hineni, Lord, here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I'm listening, Lord. Tell me what you have, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do, Lord. Hineni. Going back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, we read, he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzchak, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, or Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. Now, Isaac here was the only son of promise. Even though Ishmael was also the son of Abraham, Isaac, Yitzchak, was the son of promise. And it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reckoned, or reasoned, that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Thank you, Lord. Here we see that Abraham was offering his only son, his son of promise. And this is a picture of God offering up his only begotten son. And here Abraham is a type of the father who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Romans 8, verse 32, in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant of Scripture says, Romans 8, 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Thank you, Lord, because God cares for us. And God loves us dearly. In this verse, we see the first occurrence. I'm talking about Genesis 22:2, where it talks about love, the son that you love. This is the first occurrence of the word love, ahava, in the scripture. And it refers to a father's love for his only son who was offered as a sacrifice on Moriah, the very place where Messiah Yeshua himself was offered up thousands of years later, the same spot. This is a clear reference to the good news message of John chapter 3, verse 16. In Genesis 22, we see a father who loves his son, who loves the world so much that he offers his son. And we see in John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most well-known scriptures translated in thousands of languages. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Now it mentions here in Genesis 22, Moriah. 2 Chronicles, in the book of 2 Chronicles, and by the way, those of you who purchased the complete Jewish study Bible, you'll notice that 2 Chronicles is the last book in the first covenant of Scripture. And that's really what it is chronologically, because that's where we see the destruction of the temple, the Jewish people taken away, and this and that. That is chronologically the last book. That's why it's in the Jewish scriptures that way. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, it identifies, listen to this, 2 Chronicles 3, 1 identifies the area of Moriah as the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It says here, then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. On Mount Moriah, isn't that where Abraham offered up his son? Jewish tradition holds that the temple was built on the very spot where that Akedah, where the binding of Isaac took place. Now today, Mount Moriah is occupied by the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque that was constructed in 691 AD. Now, if you were to go into it, of course, I could never go into it. I'm not allowed as a Jew. I'm not allowed to go into it. I'm not allowed even up on Mount Moriah, on the Temple Mount area. It's forbidden. It would start World War III, if the Jewish people in mass went up on Mount Moriah to the Temple Mount. There would be a world war that would begin between Israel and all the Arab nations, and Russia would get involved, and everyone would get involved. We would see the return of Yeshua pretty quickly, one way or the other. Either you'd be going up to meet him, or he'd be coming down to meet you, one way or the other. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's a large rock inside the dome. That's why it's called the Dome of the Rock, because there's a large rock, and it's a dome that covers a rock. And in the Dome of the Rock, there's a large rock, and it's pointed to in there as the traditional site of the Akedah. But there's a problem with it, a little problem. Actually, to me, it's a major problem. The problem is, it says that it was the place that Ishmael was placed on the altar, not Isaac. Because Islam believes that Ishmael was the son of promise, and that it was him that was sacrificed or to be sacrificed on that rock there. And that's what it says in there. And you see that Islam has many deceptive things involved in it. But we serve the one true God, and we have the scriptures that tell the truth that will set us free. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me to Genesis again, 22, and let's read verse 3 through 5. 3 through 5. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Together with Yitzchak, his son, he cut the wood for the burnt offering, departed and went toward the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place in the distance. Verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go there, worship and return." It mentions here the boy. You see where it says it? Where does it say? It says, "Stay here, and I and the boy." Now, we all have this picture in our mind of Isaac being a little boy. That's the picture, and you'll see that in Renaissance pictures that were painted and illustrations everywhere. You see him, little Yitzchak, cute little boy, isn't he? You see him, isn't he cute? Cute little guy. However, according to the great Jewish historian Josephus, Isaac was 25 years old. And also, the Midrash, the writings of the Jewish people, they say that Isaac was 37 years old. So this is amazing. One says 25, one says 37. You know what's amazing about this is that Isaac, not little Isaac here, but big grown-up 25 to 37-year-old Isaac, big strapping guy, could have easily overpowered Abraham, who was, how old was Abraham at the time? Around 100 or something. I don't remember the exact. Huh? He's 100 years old. He's an old man. Right? He's old. 100 years old. And Isaac could have easily overpowered him. But he was obedient to death. He was obedient to his father. Now, Abraham says to his young men, "We will come back." Did you see that? We just read that. "We'll return to you. We'll come back." Abraham was a man of faith, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11. And the father of all who believe, it says in Romans 4:11. He reasoned that God could raise the dead if that would be necessary to fulfill his promise to return with Isaac. He believed that God could raise the dead if he had to go through this whole thing. Verse 6 and 7 says, in Genesis 22, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he laid it on Yitzchak, his son. Then he took in his hand the fire and the knife and they both went out together. Verse 7, Yitzchak spoke to Abraham, his father. "My father," he answered, "here I am, my son." He said, "I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Where is the lamb? We see here, it mentions the wood that was upon Isaac. Abraham put the wood on Isaac. This is a picture here. You see here, Isaac is carrying the wood that he would be sacrificed on. It's a picture. It's a foreshadowing of Yeshua, who was carrying the cross, the execution stake that the Father asked him to carry, to bear. John 19, verse 7 says the following, "Carrying his own cross, Yeshua went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha." It's a picture, a foreshadow. A condemned man would normally carry the beam of wood to the place of execution. Isaac trusted his father as Yeshua trusted his father. And both Isaac and Yeshua understood that God required a lamb as a substitutionary sacrifice of appeasement. In verse 8, we read, Genesis 22, Abraham replied, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And they both went out together. Here we see God will provide. This is a well-known Hebrew phrase, Adonai Yireh. Adonai Yireh. Now, many of you may have heard the song that Kenneth Copeland wrote years ago, Jehovah Jireh. Remember that? But for years, we used to sing this song in Messianic circles, Adonai Yireh. Adonai Yireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Adonai Yireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He gives his angels charge over me. Adonai Yireh cares for me, for me, for me. Adonai Yireh cares for me. So we see here Adonai Yireh, God will provide. God did provide the sacrifice here, but its ultimate fulfillment is in Yeshua, the Lamb of God. John, in the Brit Chadashah, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, reads the following, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And 1 Peter 1:18 reads, We were redeemed, we were set free with the precious blood of Messiah, a lamb without spot and blemish, no defect, perfect. Turning back to Genesis 22, verse 9, they came to the place God had told them about. And Abraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzchak his son, and laid him upon the altar on the wood. Then Abraham put out his hand, and he took the knife to kill his son. Again, we see Abraham here is pictured as the loving father, painfully offering up his only son. And Isaac is seen as a type or a picture of the Messiah who was placed on that wooden cross or altar to be sacrificed. And here we see that Isaac is viewed as being obedient and surrendering, submitting to the will of his father. This is a type of the Messiah who was obedient to death, even death on the tree, that cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says the following, Our attitude should be the same as that of the Messiah Yeshua, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on that cross, on the tree. In addition, we see Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53, the well-known chapter that speaks of the Messiah, in 53 verse 7, where it says, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers, he is silent. He did not open his mouth. Thank you, Lord. Now turn with me back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 11 and 12. 22, 11 and 12 reads, But the angel of the Lord, called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, he answered, Hineni, here am I, he said. Don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him, for now I know that you are a man who fears God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The angel of Adonai, the angel of the Lord, called out to Abraham. Abraham had the knife in his hand like this. Isaac, his son, a grown man, willingly allowed himself to be bound upon the wood as Yeshua was bound upon the wood, willing to be sacrificed, nailed to the stake, tied, Yitzchak tied to the wood. And Abraham had his hand ready, and he was coming down ready to strike and put that knife into the very depths of his son and kill him. And I'm sure he had tears rolling down his face. But the angel of the Lord called out, "Abraham, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on him." Oh, can you imagine what Abraham felt? He went, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he had tears in his eye. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Obedience. Hineni. Here I am. He's ready. I'm listening, Lord. Some believe, some theologians believe that this angel of the Lord himself was Yeshua, a Christophany, that it was Yeshua himself. And here we see that Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. And in James chapter 2, verse 21 through 22, it says, "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." And like Yeshua, Isaac also was resurrected on the third day. When God called Abraham, he told Abraham to sacrifice Yitzchak, Isaac. And in the mind of Abraham, Isaac was as good as dead. He knew he had to do it. He was as good as dead in his mind. But after 3 days, as they journeyed these 3 days to Moriah, and after placing his son Yitzchak upon that wooden altar like the cross, God spared Isaac and raised him and resurrected him from the dead in Abraham's presence because he was as good as dead. Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time on, Yeshua began to explain to his Talmudim, his disciples, that he must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things at the hand of the elders and the chief priests, the Kohanim, and the teachers of the Torah teachers, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, verse 13 and 14. "And the angel of Adonai called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, 'I have sworn by myself, says Adonai, that because you have done this, because you haven't withheld your son, your only son, I will certainly bless you.'" Thank you, Lord. Where am I here? 13 and 14. I'm in the wrong verse. Okay. Let's go back to verse 13. I'm so excited, I tell you what. Verse 13. "Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its shofar, by its horns." Thank you, Lord. "And Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the place Adonaiira, God will provide. The Lord shall provide." The Lord, in some of your versions, it says here, "The Lord will see to it," or "The Lord provides, as it is said to this day, on the mountain Adonai is seen." On Rosh Hashanah, which is taking place this coming week, and we're going to be remembering and celebrating and recalling next Saturday, on Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the trumpets, as I mentioned, this story, this Akedah, is read because of that mention also of the ram's horn, the shofar, that was caught in the thicket, symbolic of God's forgiveness and mercy. the ram miraculously caught in the thicket by its shofar, by its horns, and was sacrificed instead of Isaac. It's a type of substitutionary atonement. And that word atonement, really, if you look at it, atonement is at one with. At one with. That's what atonement with means. At one with God. When we have that sacrifice, Yeshua's sacrifice makes, that his atonement makes us at one with God. Thank you, Lord. Messiah Yeshua offered as a burnt offering in the place of sinners. Listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Therefore, when Messiah came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepare for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am." That same word, hineni. "It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the Torah, the law, required them to be made. Then he said, hineni, here I am. I have come to do your will. And he sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Messiah Yeshua once and for all. Substitutionary sacrifice of one life for another is the prominent theme here that we see in Genesis 22. As the ram died in the place of Isaac, also, Messiah Yeshua, his life was a ransom, literally instead of many. He died for all of us. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for or instead of many." And again, we see the Lord will provide, Adonai Yireh, Yeshua provided, Yeshua given as that sacrificial lamb. Genesis 22, 15 through 18 says, going back to Genesis, "And the angel of Adonai called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, 'I have sworn by myself,' says Adonai, 'that because you have done this, because you haven't withheld your son, your only son, I will certainly bless you. And I will most certainly increase your descendants to as many as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of their enemies. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my order.'" Here we see the Abrahamic covenant that was initiated in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. Here we see it renewed and reaffirmed, where it says, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And it says here, "Swear by myself. I have sworn by myself. I swear by myself." Nothing greater in the universe than to God to swear by himself. There's nothing greater than that. And Abraham's obedience here brought not only blessing to him and his descendants, but to all the nations on the earth, all of us here, Jew and Gentile, we're all now one in Messiah, because now we can have, we as physical seed and the spiritual sons and daughter of Abraham, we can be one in the Messiah Yeshua together. We are joined together, all as Abraham's children. Thank you, Lord. "And all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed through you," as it says in Genesis 12:3. Let me ask you this question. Do you want a new, brand new, life-changing experience in the Messiah Yeshua? Do you want that in your life? Do you want peace in your heart, deep and satisfying undisturbed shalom, peace in your heart? Do you want the power and the authority and the victory in your life? Wherever you fail, do you want to be made over again, as if to say resurrected from the dead? Do you want to be done with defeat? Who's tired of defeat here? Who's tired of defeat? Who wants the victory? In other words, do you want the Messiah, Yeshua, to reign in your life? Thank you, Lord. Then I believe that God wants each and every one of us to take our climb up Mount Moriah. To climb up Mount Moriah, each one of us. And be willing to offer up what God desires, to give to Him our Isaacs, the things that we cherish the most, the things that maybe are the most important to us, the things that we hold on to, the things we're not willing to give up. Are we willing to climb the mountain and offer up to God our Isaacs? Thank you, Lord. And believe me that God is calling each one of us to do that, just as He clearly called Abraham, as He called Yeshua to willingly offer up Himself as a sacrifice of appeasement for all of us. God is calling us also to sacrifice those things, to give up those things that separate us from God, the worldly things that keep us and hold us from serving God with a whole heart. He wants us to offer that up on the altar and give it all to Him. Give it all to God. Bind it up upon the altar and burn it up and destroy it. And He wants us to search our hearts and to see what are those things in us that we need to lay upon the altar and sacrifice. Let me tell you, the road up to Mount Moriah may be very hard. It's not going to be an easy road. It's a tough road. In fact, it can be excruciating for our soul. But let me tell you also, it's one worth climbing. And not just climbing, but conquering. And having victory over sin and death. Thank you, Lord. Are we all ready to pay that price today? Are we ready to offer up those things that hold us and keep us and separate us from God? Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord God of Abraham.